Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Mark Baser does a stand-up talk show at the Hideout. It's called The Interview Show. It's also on Channel 11, and new episodes are coming up now after the first of the year. Mark just strolled into our studio. Hi, Mark Baser.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Care to comment on Reefer Madness hitting Chicago? We are acting like people who have never heard of it. I'm very ignorant on the topic, but this topic has overwhelmed Chicago the last couple days.
Yeah, I do find the media coverage, obviously media has to cover it, but I find it interesting that 2 weeks ago, or a year ago, let's say, the media wouldn't cover how to smoke. But now that it's legal, they'll do all these guides to it.
Well, there was the lieutenant governor of the state showing her edibles. Woo!
Oh, really?
Yeah, the lieutenant governor of Illinois is standing there, and she's a lovely lady. I've not met her, but she seems to, you know, have the best interest of the state at heart. And that's...
That is interesting.
This is my...
That'd be like her holding up a bottle of Jack Daniels.
It's exactly the point I tried to make to the Mincing Rascals.
Or Jim Beam and, like, pulling the cork out with her teeth. You know?
Yeah.
Real hard school about it. But I'm like, the state of Illinois benefits by you smoking marijuana now or eating the edibles. They are so encouraging you to do so. Why? Because they want the money. And it is just something to me bizarre, maybe just because it's new, that the state is... pushing this drug on the people to pay the state's
bills.
What's
that meme I've seen going around, which is, when you're broke, you start selling drugs?
Yeah. Welcome to Illinois. Welcome to Chicago. Yeah. Yeah. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm great.
Are you a user, by the way? Now, this question, which used to be kind of a wink, is now a completely legitimate question. For instance, ask me if I had a Manhattan yesterday.
I know the answer to that. Probably yes.
I did not, but the day before I did.
And
I'm going to have one tonight.
I am definitely going to have one tonight.
Yeah.
Because I'm celebrating tonight.
What are you celebrating?
Well, I'm celebrating the fifth season of this show on TV, on WTTW. It's season 5. I can't believe
you don't owe me anything, Mark, but I was the first one to retweet the WTTW announcement of it.
I owe you. What do you want? Edibles?
Over a Manhattan, yeah, I think so.
Given my druthers, I'd take the Manhattan.
Thank you for doing that.
So 5 seasons you've been on TV?
5 seasons on TV now.
How many years have you been doing your interview show at the Hideout?
12.
12?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. The key to multiple seasons is to have few episodes per season. Like, it would be like a half of a Chicago PD season.
Right, exactly.
Or like an eighth of a John Williams, an eighth, you know, to use marijuana terminology.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we're excited. It's we've got a new set. We've got new guests, obviously.
So you record, you video the shows, and then you take, the best of them and put them in a half-hour block?
We edit out the things that I don't like that I said, and then put up the rest,
so
basically.
You have the whole, what's the time lag between when they were on stage at the Hideout and they appear on TV?
So we've gotten a lot better at that. And part of it is because the culture is so fast now that we used to say we could do an interview and it would be pretty evergreen. And if it aired even 3 months later, who cares? But politics, culture, whatever it is, everything's going so fast now that our turnaround time is now sometimes within a couple of weeks,
really?
Sometimes a little longer. So that's obviously we all have day jobs. We all have other things that we're doing, but obviously, like, Stephen Colbert tapes it that day, it goes on later in the evening. Same thing with most talk shows. We don't have that luxury.
He has a staff of 200 people.
Yeah, right. So we don't have that luxury.
You have a couple of guys.
We got a great team, but everybody's working, you know, their butts off, but we can't get it up the same day or anything like that.
I am patient zero for that concept of, can we record this and still make it play on TV? Because you had me on just before the election in 2016.
That might have broken the model.
I'm on. It was in the fall of 2016.
Yeah, that's right.
And you said, okay, come on and talk to me about doing a talk show in Chicago. And what are you guys talking about in the fall of 2016? But if you talk about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, do so in a way that we can play it in November, December, you know, after the first of the year. Well, at the time, I and everybody else in the room thought Hillary was going to win. So while I respected your request as best I could, I kind of leaned into, but we all know what's going to happen, right?
It was a very good first time in my life my paranoia paid off.
Right. Exactly. That we sort of couched it a little bit, helped you out.
We've had it even worse than that. We had a guy from CNN on last year talking about the Mueller stuff, and I thought it would be fine, and then when it came time to air, everything was kind of still accurate. It wasn't that it wasn't. It was just that everybody moves on. I mean, today everybody's obviously talking about Iran. Well, next week, one kind of hopes we aren't. You know, if we are, it's because stuff has happened.
You know, the Mincing Rascals podcast that we do on Thursdays, you've been in the gaggle before.
Yeah, I used to be invited.
You've been on several times, and you'll get the invitation again. But when we record that, I always say, today is Thursday. It is January 2nd. This is what I said yesterday. It's 12:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I give the timestamp because by the next week, that's completely dated. By the next end of the day, sometimes it's dated. So at least you know the context in which
you're
recording.
Have you ever had to pull one back?
No, but while we were been doing the podcast, events have changed literally as we were doing it. You know, Bertrand was looking at his phone or something, goes, oh, wait a minute. We got to reimagine this conversation now because we are talking about fairly current things.
I was playing solitaire, though.
I let the crew do that. At least two of them have lately been putting their nose down into their phone while we're recording the podcast. But I'm thinking, A, they're journalists. They're paying attention to things. And B, I'm not paying them,
to be honest. They're just like high schoolers with their laptops.
It's kind of off-putting. And I think, hey, we're all in the room together doing this thing. You're looking at your phone.
I didn't know that bothered you. Because I do it all the time.
Do you want me to leave?
Well, yeah. I think... What are you doing that's more important than the actual broadcast or podcast we're doing right now?
Well, what if they're looking at a photo of you?
Right. They're not doing that.
Mark, I tend to think I'm the most interesting person on the podcast, and so if the others are talking...
You have the luxury of checking out.
What did I say last? I'm listening to what I said last time.
Right.
I got a minute. I'll talk to you after the news, but just before we go to the news... when does the interview show air then?
It's tonight, 8:30 p.m.
On Channel 11.
Channel 11 PBS. And our first guest is wonderful. She's a woman named Abby McEnany, and she has a show on Showtime called Work in Progress. And it's kind of loosely based on her life. It takes place here in Chicago. It's awesome. The interview's great too, but the show is really good.
Who else is on this episode?
A guy named David Gamble. He's a photographer and an artist who, back when Andy Warhol died, he was asked by Andy Warhol's manager to take photos of Andy Warhol's apartment for reasons having to do with how they were going to sell his paintings later in auctions and stuff like that. And the photos are super interesting because on the one hand, he's got a weird mix of eclectic stuff that you'd expect Andy Warhol to have in a New York apartment. On the other hand, he has a medicine chest that has everything that you'd have in the medicine chest, and there's something about that banality that is striking.
But is the medicine chest displayed as art, or is it just his medicine chest?
It's just a medicine chest, but when it's a photograph of a medicine chest, does it become art?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out the tomato soup can.
Just if you get high enough.
I don't. It's 11:30. I had another question about a guest you had on and a story from a very famous Chicagoan. Just a last question for Mark Baser. He's a friend of the show. He's helped us out on our podcast before as well. His interview show airs on Channel 11. It debuts again season 5 tonight on Channel 11 at 8:30 in the evening.
That's
right. And then, Mark, they run it again on Sundays, right?
Yeah,
10:30 in the evening on
and
Sundays.
And then at 4:30 in the morning on Tuesdays.
Are you serious about that?
Sometime like that.
Right.
So I get two great times. I mean, TGW is great. They give me two really nice times. And then, you know, they rerun programming at various hours.
So in the last stand-up, I keep calling it stand-up,
seated at all, as many times as I can in my life.
But you do stand up for the opening monologue when you do your show at the Hideout.
So we tape the show at the Hideout. When people can come to that show, we have one like next week, January 10th.
Oh, do you really? Who's coming to that show?
Peter Sagal from another radio station.
Yep.
and Carrie Coon, who is an actress who is on was on HBO's The Leftovers, and she was in Gone Girl, and she's going to be at a play in a play at Steppenwolf, Bug by Tracy Letts.
So you get those two people on stage.
Yeah.
The guests you get are marquee names, and that I could be that close to them and you. I mean, I'm right there. We're in a bar. Yeah. It's this stage. It's an intimate room. What does it seat? 150 maybe?
Yeah, we keep it even smaller because of cameras and stuff like that, but like 100.
You're right there. You're holding a beer, and you're just watching some of the best-known names in Chicago and really the country sometimes, just having a funny conversation with Mark Baser on stage at the Hideout. The next live show is
January 10th, 6:30.
Friday, yeah. And you can get tickets online. Jeff Tweedy was on your show.
We did, from Wilco, and he was great. I mean, Jeff is obviously a brilliant musician, but he's also really, really funny. Like, natural, just, I can't even explain how funny he is. Like,
some people, just, when they just talk to you, crack you up.
Yeah, but he means to be funny. It's not that he's not trying to be, but he's just, I know it's not effortless, but it feels that way when you're talking to him. It's such a great interview, I guess, in that sense. And unfortunately, right before he had been on the show, like a few days before, and this was a couple of weeks ago, his house in Chicago was shot at. It wasn't intentional. It was somebody shot the gun intentionally, but it wasn't, nobody was aiming for Jeff Tweedy's house. He's not a marked man or anything like that. And so we were talking about that, and it's obviously a harrowing story, and he and his wife were really scared. It happened at 2 a.m. in the morning, and there were several shots that hit the house. And
really?
You know, you think in some ways, even though gun violence is all around, that you're immune to it, and then you know your house gets shot and you don't feel that way. So we're talking about it, and it's not a pleasant
Did he say what neighbor he lives in?
He did not. Yeah. It's not a pleasant story, you know, I mean, it wasn't, but all of a sudden it became the funniest story because he somehow made this like effortless transition to the fact that his wife is a huge thrift store collector. So she's always going to thrift stores, and she's really good at it, and she finds great deals and everything. And it was right around the holidays, and she had purchased a snowman plunger for like 80 cents or something. And
a plunger in the shape of a snowman?
A plunger that had, well, it's like the plunger itself part is a plunger,
right?
But on top of it is a snowman.
Got it.
And there was a little bit of a Christmas theme to it and everything, and he was joking. He was like, I don't understand why she got it. We're Jewish. But anyway,
it's not Santa Claus, but keep going.
Right. So then he goes back to the shots and how he was running. They were getting up. They didn't want to look out the window because the last thing you want is for a shot to come in through the house. But they're going around. They're trying to figure out what to do. Their alarm system, they had turned off their alarm so quickly that the alarm company and the cops just figured that, I guess, it was a mistake, and they weren't coming. And so he goes for some reason into the bathroom, and all of a sudden he's frantic, he's panicking, and I can't do justice to it, but the plunger says, "How you doing?" And he's like, the damn thing talks. So it's like 2 a.m. in the morning, and if you want to actually hear the story told much better than I just did, it's on our third episode, which would be on the 17th of January. But I mean, it was just like he had the place just like, rarely do you see a room that the place is just totally in stitches.
What a surreal moment. Huh?
Surreal moment. And then, you know, and then he somehow gets back to the fact of how scary the whole thing was.
2 a.m, he's standing there with a talking snowman plunger trying to defend his
family.
For
and he was like, I was more upset at that point with the plunger than I was that my house had just been shot. Yeah.
I know some people who will have like a baseball bat in their bedroom, and I think,
has that ever succeeded?
I know. I understand that.
Yeah, sure.
But I also think that's such a sad commentary, right? Like, the baseball bat's there, so if they break in, then I'll fend them off, and I'll bet you won't, you know? And so that's just like, does the baseball bat really help? And does it make you feel better, or does it just exacerbate your anxiety that I may have to defend myself against bad guys?
Right.
You would almost say, oh, I don't want the baseball bat in there. I don't want to think about that. The baseball bat isn't going to help me. Might
right.
Be
always
on.
Looking at it.
I know. That's the thing. And yet, I don't want to judge any, but whatever makes you feel better makes you feel better. And who knows? Maybe it'll help.
You can have a moat around your bed.
Jim DeRogatis, you know, the rock critic for the Sun Times, who has written extensively about and has a book about R. Kelly, in his book talks about when he was doing some of his most critical reporting, a bullet hit his window.
And that was probably intentional.
That's, you don't know, but the friends are sitting there with him when it happens, and they go, you've got to take this seriously. You know, you need, so then what do? If that's a message, do you report less aggressively the R. Kelly story? Do you go after those people?
Well, the message would be report the story less aggressively. So you're giving in that case, right?
Yeah, right.
Which so he didn't do, obviously.
He sure as hell didn't.
He doubled down.
But you don't want to be, you know, that's a conundrum because, of course, you're a journalist and the truth must win.
Yeah.
But you ain't going to do any good if you can't do it. So what do? And, you're right. He continued to report on that. Okay, Mark Baser. So, Tonight. I don't know what day of the week it is.
Nobody does.
I usually don't.
No, I mean, it's Friday, right?
8:30 tonight.
Set your DVRs.
Channel 11. And then when does the Tweety episode run on the...
That's going to be the 17th.
Channel 11, 8:30.
Yeah. It looks good. He performs on it, too. It's great. It's one of my favorite episodes.
This is a great local Chicago entertainer. It's a great local Chicago production and show. I suppose people around the country would enjoy these stories as well, but here in Chicago we have a gem. And the next live stage show...
January 10th, which we're taping. We're filming that for the season.
Oh, no kidding.
So that's an example of us having to rightfully speed up our process rather than wait 6 months for it to sit on it.
If I get the tickets online, how do I do that?
You go to hideoutchicago.com, I think is...
What's the Mark Baser version?
The interview show, Chicago.com.
The interview show, Chicago.com.
Yeah.
Usually, can you get tickets at the door?
Lately, we've been lucky, and no.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
So
but sometimes.
Avail yourselves of this. Yeah. Okay, Mark Baser, good to see you, my friend.
Thanks for having me. In.